Thank you, Madam Moderator. The COVID-19 pandemic has drastically transformed daily life and particularly impacted marginalised groups, including persons with disabilities, the world's largest marginalised group. In this context, it is critically important that the voices of persons with disabilities themselves are heard. To that end, the International Disability Alliance recently conducted a survey of our members, and we had responses from over 600 persons with disabilities across the world, with particularly strong responses from underrepresented groups in the Global South. From the survey results, I will outline some of the headline issues, in particular the impact on social and economic rights in work and education, and the impact on mental health. I'll then conclude with some key recommendations to reflect what persons with disabilities themselves suggest building back better might look like. 47% of the respondents said that they lost all or some of their income during the pandemic, and 52% of respondents who were in education said they faced barriers in education, with 17% dropping out of education during the pandemic. Many respondents faced digital barriers which had a negative impact on their employment and education. Only 29% of respondents who used digital platforms for work or education said that those platforms were accessible to them. 64% found at least one platform inaccessible, and parents with disabilities and parents with children of disabilities faced digital barriers when supporting their children to do remote schooling. 24% said that their children cannot join online classes because they cannot afford internet access or they have a poor connection. And a further 21% said that online schooling applications were inaccessible. The pandemic has had a significant impact on the underlying and social determinants of mental health of persons with disabilities. We found indications of some crisis in mental health for persons with disabilities, many of whom lost their income, support and services during the pandemic. 82% of respondents said they were more anxious or worried since the pandemic began, while 74% said they were more sad or depressed. Many people fell into a vicious cycle of losing support services, facing barriers in fulfilling their basic needs and experiencing mental health challenges without having access to psychosocial support. In turn, people who lost their support services or their income were more likely to experience anxiety. One quarter of the respondents were living in humanitarian crisis settings, and most of these respondents were women. Humanitarian emergencies and natural disasters combined with the barriers created by the COVID-19 pandemic to create a devastating impact on the rights of persons with disabilities in these areas. This was particularly true with regard to the right to health. 64% of people from these areas face barriers in accessing healthcare and medicines, make them more likely to experience deteriorating health during the pandemic, not just COVID-19 related. The role of organisations of persons with disabilities during the pandemic and pandemic response was particularly important. Nearly half of respondents said they received at least one type of support from their local organisation of persons with disabilities. These organisations played a key role in bridging the gap between public COVID-19 service providers and persons with disabilities, including by acting as information hubs. However, organisations of persons with disabilities were significantly impacted by funding cuts, operating on reduced staff, mostly with volunteer time. In many cases, the organisations of persons with disabilities shifted their work from advocacy to service delivery. The issue with this is that there are implications with how disability rights are advanced in the longer term, and there is the risk that organisations of persons with disabilities become providers of services to persons with disabilities that should, in fact, essentially be the role of the state. This represents a failure of the state to fulfil their CRPD obligations and risks regression from the human rights paradigm shift of the CRPD, regressing back towards the charitable model. This must be stopped. I would now like to conclude with some key recommendations which reflect the priorities of persons with disabilities. I would note that some of these recommendations are already being implemented in states around the world, and we are encouraged by those good practices. The International Disability Alliance urges all states to take the following measures. Ensure close consultation with and active involvement of persons with disabilities and their representative organisations, including organisations of underrepresented groups, in designing, implementing and monitoring COVID-19 socio-economic recovery plans. Mandate different sectors of the government, including social security, employment, health, support systems and other relevant sectors to both mainstream disability in their recovery plans and introduce disability-specific plans. Ensure that persons with disabilities and their support networks of their choice have priority access to COVID-19 vaccinations. Address the negative impact of the pandemic on the mental health of persons with disabilities by ensuring access to a range of disability-inclusive mental health supports and services on the basis of free and informed consent. Provide necessary supports, including financial supports, assistive technologies, and human resources to ensure that persons with disabilities are not left behind at any level of the education system. Ensure that persons with disabilities have access to financial assistance to guarantee an adequate standard of living during disasters or other emergencies. Finally, I'd like to comment that the COVID-19 pandemic has exposed the structural failures of policy response and inadequate implementation of the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Nowhere has this been more true than the deprivation of liberty and institutionalization on the basis of disability. The disproportionate levels of infections and deaths among persons still living in institutions was a tragic moral, legal, and human rights failure. The right to independent living for persons with disabilities must be respected, protected, and fulfilled, with all services and support, including social support, to be provided in the community. And finally, deinstitutionalization measures must be prioritized and accelerated. Thank you, Madam Moderator.